Good evening.
Good evening,
and welcome to Calvary Chapel. We are blessed this evening to have a special guest speaker, and I'm very excited because in having the opportunity to address us this evening, one of the very special people that we work with in El Salvador, who's been here before, is going to share in just a minute, but I want to say a couple of things before I introduce him, and that is that at Calvary Chapel, we are very concerned that the church has babies that behave. No, I'm just kidding. She's always so good. What happened, right? It's the sound of my voice, right, Vince? No, that's okay. We're glad you guys are here. We are concerned that the church in America understands the Great Commission and that it includes missions. In fact, you can't separate missions from the church and really still call it a church. There are very many ways to minister the gospel here and overseas, but one of the things we do at Calvary Chapel is encourage you to become a short-term missionary. But you know, it's important to understand that that's not the only focus we have on missions. Some people have been tempted to think, well, that's all we do, but listen, it's not. Short-term missions is just a very small part of what we do here at Calvary Chapel to support missions abroad. We support missionaries throughout the world, and some of those missionaries are in El Salvador, led by the leader that I'm about to introduce, who leads a team of Word of Life missionaries and a sports camp and various different outreaches that make it such a successful outreach when our short-term missionaries go to spend a week or two with them. There is very little we could accomplish on our own. Of course, apart from the Holy Spirit, we could accomplish nothing. Amen? But understand something. It is so vitally important that we work with teams on the ground, full-time missionaries in the country who live there, because we can only come in and help. That's what we're called to do. But they have the charge and the call to minister full-time. So understand this. When we do short-term missions, it's mostly to support people like Roy Diallo. Why don't you come on up?
Hola. How you doing?
Good.
Well, let me tell you this first. My English is not very well, okay? English is not my first language. It's my second language. Spanish, obviously, is my first language. So I never went to a language school. I never lived in America. I never spent time in any language school learning English. I'm just learning English talking with people as you. So if you heard something weird from my mouth, excuse me. I hope that you heard my, you can listen my heart and not my language. That's to me the most important thing. I was looking for a couple of translators, but I said, no, I have to do it in English. Even, I think Pastor didn't understand me because when he comes to El Salvador, he tried to speak in Spanish. And you know how hard is that when you speak in other language that is not your own language? Well, I'm going to try to do my best job. If you hear something weird, you just raise your hand and say, amen, that's wrong. That's a bad word. Careful. Okay. I will appreciate that. I can tell you. Well, first of all, I want to tell you thank you, really. We are so excited and we are so glad to the Lord because all of you, we have great partners as you. You know, we have a great friendship and fellowship with Joe's ministry, with Kurt's ministry, but also with this church. This church is really so important for us. We pray for you in the ministry because we know you, we know your leadership, we know your leaders, and we pray for you all. Maybe not all of you know me, but I know your leaders. And we have a friendship, a relationship, and we do the God's work together. And I'm so glad to the Lord because he allowed me to be here today and share with you a little bit and just tell you thank you. It's, you know, sometimes we have not enough words to express how thankful we are. And sometimes we can show you a video and you can be amazed how God is working in El Salvador. But I have for sure that you heard that before from your pastor, from your leaders, from your people here. You heard that a lot, that God is doing great things in El Salvador. And God is blessing us as Word of Life El Salvador, being part of that, going to different places, many open doors, And we are so glad to the Lord because people as you, that you pray for us. You know, there's three different ways to be part in God's missions, you know. It's one is going, right? And you are doing that. One is praying, and I know that you are doing that. And one is giving, and you are doing that. And that's great because you are doing all that we need to be part in missions. So thanks God for all of you. And keep praying for the country. Keep praying for El Salvador. We are having a different government now, you know, different president. So Saul, you know. Joe said that you are, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to say in public. I don't want to say that in public, but sorry, man. We have a different government now. I'm going to go in deep details. Just because Joe's trouble. Well, we have a different government now. And we are honestly praying to the Lord that everything keep going in the same way. You know, that the Lord keep us, help us to keep open doors, to keep working on. We are a little bit aware about what's going on in the next future years because with a new government, it's so different government. So we are praying for them. You're going to pray for El Salvador? Write the name Mauricio Funes on your prayer letters, your prayer cards, or your prayer list because he's the president. And pray for him because he's a good guy. He's a really good man. But the people around him are not like him. And it's going to be problematic, all these kind of things. So please keep praying for El Salvador. Well, I'm so glad because the Lord allowed me to speak to you. Joe told me that 1.5 hours is fine. Honestly, when that's right, Joe? Let me tell you this. Praise God that I'm going to speak in English, not in Spanish. Because when I speak in Spanish, it's different. I cannot stop myself. Okay, but in English, it's different because I need to think. I need to change. Well, I know translate. Praise God. I'm not translating my mind, but I need to use my word that I know, you know, and that's putting me a limit that helps. Okay. Well, I just want to invite you, come with me to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. You know, as a missionary and even as a director of a ministry as Word of Life, I have many responsibilities, but also I have many blessings. One of the blessings that I have is travel through different countries preaching the God's Word, but that also allowed me to learn a lot, learn about different cultures and learn about different situations. And something that I can tell you for sure, that now we are living in this country, we are living in a really crisis time. I'm not telling you about economy. I'm not talking about economy. I'm not talking about crisis economy. I'm talking about morality crisis. We are really having hard times about morality. We were going this today to Costco, right? And Joe was telling me about the people who live in front of Costco. And that's amazing. It's amazing how this war is getting down. It's amazing. I lived for 5 years in Argentina. I went to the Bible Institute in Argentina, and I spent 2 years serving the Lord in Argentina. And I can tell you how the main public parks, you can walk through the Argentina main streets, and you can see ladies stay on the ground without clothes, almost naked. They don't care about that. They don't care. You're just walking through, and you can see a bunch of ladies just using underwear, sleeping on the central parks because there's no more high morality. This war is in crisis in morality. And I'm thinking about this sometimes. I'm thinking about how the Christianity, how you and me, how we can change that things. How can you and me be part in all these changes that we need in this world? How you can be part of that, and even myself? You know, and I think sometimes as Christians, we also lose the focus that we have, that what do we have to do? Sometimes we forget something that are so necessary in Christianity. Let me tell you this, the subject, the title, the message that we are going to share with you tonight I'm going to share with you some stuff, something that you know that. But sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we are so comfortable with our Christianity. And sometimes we forget some kind of commitments that we need to have with the Lord. This is the subject that we are... Right there? Okay, days of commitment. I want to talk to you tonight about commitment. You know, I have the privilege to be the leader of one ministry, and I can tell you that I traveled through many churches. Even I had the privilege to speak to a lot of leaders in different countries and different places. And one of the crisis things that we found in Christianity is that many times the Christians, they don't have a real commitment. When we talk about commitment, I'm talking about a real commitment. And I have to go, I want to go through different passages. I don't want to share with you this verse, chapter 3, verse 2. If you have the Bible, you have the verses on the screen. That's something that helped me a lot when I'm speaking in English because, you know, read the Bible in English is easy for you, but not for me. It's for me easy to read in Spanish. So there's some verses that I want to put on the screen. I don't want to read. I don't want you to read on the screen. No hurt from me. But, you know, in verse 2, chapter 3, I can find that word that is so interesting, the word affection. It's so amazing because if you go to the verse number 1, read your Bible, check your Bible, you read the verse number 1, you can see about people who raised with Christ. So in other words, people who knew the Lord, people who came to the Lord, people who are now children of God, and the Bible is challenging them, is challenged to you and to me to do something. What my problem sometimes with my mind is so fast sometimes, but my tongue is not obedient to my mind. And in Spanish, I don't have that problem, but in English, I have it. Well, in Spanish, sometimes I have it also. Well, the point is, in verse number 2, the Bible is telling us, what do you and what do I have to do to the Lord? And if you read carefully verse number 2, the verse number 2 is talking about people as you and as me. Believers. People who know the Lord. People who believe in Him. People who are saved. People who get the grace upon them. People who bow down before the Lord and they receive the grace from the Lord. It's talking about people who are saved. You know, you or I, we came to the Lord. We are saved before Him. We get His grace upon us. But what the next question is, did you pay something for that? No. Was free. But now what do you have to do? What do we have to do? This word is so interesting. The word affection means something interesting. Look at that. The word affection comes from an original word that the name is phronia. The word phro comes about mind. Do you know what the word saying? The word said that your mind, your thinking, your feelings, everything, you need to focus on something. Even, let me tell you this. You have your mind, you have your feelings, you have your heart, you have your body, focus on something. The question is, in what? Where? Or in whom? Do you have all you are focused on? Where? Is that interesting about this verse? That word just telling us that all that you are, all that you think, all that you feel, all that you are, complete you are, not only thinking, even your heart, what do you feel? All you are, you need to focus on heaven. It's really important, you know. Maybe you read this verse many times in your life, but you never stop to read it carefully. Carefully. You know, because sometimes you and I, we complain about many things. Because you have, maybe you have your mind focused on Jesus, but not your heart. That's different. You can, I don't know if you know this in English, but in Spanish we said that something comes through this ear and go off on this. How do you say in English that? But that's understanding, right? That you heard on this side and the other side is, you know, flying out. You know, because it's only mentality. It's only here, but it's not here. You need about maybe 5 inches. Sometimes we need about 5 inches, about that, to move everything from here to here. Many times, we forget this important thing. We have our mind in Jesus because we know him. But your heart and my heart are not in Jesus. Do you know how do we can know if you have all you are focused on him? My question is this. When you have crisis, when you have situations around you, when you listen about economy problems, when you hear about healthy issues, when you hear about many things around you, how is your heart? Do you have peace or are you in troubles? That is going to show you where is set up everything you are. Where do you have focus all you are? You know, when we talk about this, when we talk about affection, when we talk about to have everything you are and everything I am, focus on him, we need to understand that we need to have two clear commitments. Two clear and really important commitments. It's going to be, it's weird. I never use that kind of things. I just use here in Spanish, in English, but it's kind of interesting. Well, if we go back to the verse, you can see on the screen, set your affection on, and the Bible is clear, things above. But, you know, it's really important, the second part. We want to read again later, not now. I just want to focus on the first part. It says, set your affections on things above. When we think about that, we need to have the first clear commitment. The first clear commitment is that we need to have a clearly heavenly commitment. I'm not kidding with these brothers. Heavenly commitment. We live in this earth, but this is not where we have to be. You know what I'm saying? We live in the middle of this situation. Think about everything around you. Now we are so scared sometimes. Now we are so, you know, shy, or we have a lot of fears about everything around us. But this life is just passing through. It may be in 10 years, in 20 years, you don't know if you're going to be here. Number one. And number two, the Bible tells us so clearly that we have to be worried just for today. I don't know the right verse in English, but you know what I'm saying? That verse, it said, you have to be worried about just today. Because you don't know if tomorrow comes. You don't know that. You don't know if tomorrow will come. You don't know that. You need to give all you are today. Today. Heavenly commitment. When we talk about heavenly commitment, we need to understand the first important heavenly commitment. When you have a clear heavenly commitment, your first important thing in your life is that you need to have a clear commitment with your God and Savior. And you know, it's weird maybe to talk this about people in the church, even myself, serving the Lord. But you know, sometimes we can be serving the Lord, supposedly. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can be so busy in the God's ministry, and we can forget who is my leader? Who is my Lord? Who is my Savior? Who is my God? In ministry, we can do that. We maybe can forget that. Think about when you have all your busy things around you. Work, school, problems, situations. Sometimes we can do like that. Put your mind down, not above. You know, when we talk about have a clear commitment with my God and Savior, I love to remember that guy, Stephen. If you go to the first part of the verse, the Acts chapter 6, verse 5. In chapter 6, the Bible is telling us about that they were looking for people. Remember that story? They were looking for people because the elder, the people that they were teaching the Bible, they were so busy doing everything. And they began to find for someone. They found Stephen. Do you remember the characteristics of Stephen? When they choose him and they put him to serve the table under the right warning of this, to serve. Do you remember the characteristics about him? You can see right there. Full of, number one, faith. A man full of faith. But number two, full of the Holy Spirit. A full man. A man really full of the Lord. No half, no part. That word, full, means full. So, no half, no almost full, not empty, full. You know, but it's amazing how one chapter later, all his story changes. Do you remember that? Chapter 6, a great man of God. Chapter 7, everything around him proved him. Put him under fire. Do you remember that? Everybody took him, and they were having fun with him. Do you remember that? Hanging out. Let's go to drink a coffee. Let's go. No. Do you remember that? All the situations for him turned on bad. Everything turned wrong around him. People screaming on him. People punching on him. People telling many wrong things to him. Do you remember that? But he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He had a real commitment with his God. He could have the opportunity to reject them or reject the Lord even. He could have that opportunity. He could be the man who tell to that people. He could be the man to say, hey, you know, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. But, you know, not like you think. That's what you and I do sometimes. In our schools, or even our jobs, or even in our homes, in situations, personal situations, sometimes we are like, I'm a believer. But, you know, but not like you think sometimes. I'm at this kind of believer, you know, that I do, or I believe, or I trust in things that could be something nice for me, or comfortable for me. But Stephen, he didn't do that. He said, I don't care. You want to kill me? Kill me. You want to punch on me? Do it. You want to scream on me? Do it. Do you remember? It's amazing to me. I can imagine the moment when they were throwing stones upon him. And he just raised up his head. He put his eyes above. Do you remember Colossians chapter 3, verse 2? And he just said, Lord, forgive them. A clear heavenly commitment. What do you do when someone hurt you? What do you do? What do you do when someone said something wrong about you? What do you do? Husband and wives, I'm married, so I know what I'm saying. Number one. What do you do when you have any kind of situation with your couple? What do you do? Did you go and say, honey, excuse me, forgive me, I love you? Do you do that? Or do you just, you know, looking for, she has to, I'm a man, you know, she has to come and, you know, and ask for forgiveness. I don't. Sometimes we are like that. But Stephen, he just raised up his head. And he just said, forgive them, Lord. Do you remember the last words from Christ on the cross? Do you know why Stephen said the same? Because he was full of him. That's the main difference. When you and I, when we are full of Him, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, when you are full of faith, doesn't matter the situation around you, you will raise your face to the heaven. You will do that. Because you know who is your Lord and Savior. You know that. But you need to be full of Him. First clear commitment. Commitment with my God and Savior, as Stephen was. Second heavenly commitment, very important. That is something that we forget even now, these times. Come on, man. Don't bother me. His word. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, you will see how that verse is encouraging, is challenging us to know this Bible, to know this book. You know, I love technology even. I think that technology is something really important. I know that. But over the technology, you need to know this. Something that I love, this is my third time this short, I think so, third or fourth time. This is my first time that I have the privilege to share the word with you. But my last times, I just stay sit and listen to the pastor. And something that I like that I didn't find in everywhere, I'm honestly. Something that I like is that I saw Pastor Tim, and I'm going to tell you because he's him, I know. I'm just saying the truth. Something that I like was saw him, sitting him with the Bible open, teaching. That's the main thing. This is the book who changed lives. You know what I'm saying? This is the book who helped you to know Him. This is the book who can lead you on your decisions, on your choices. Sometimes we take bad decisions or we take bad choices because we never go to the right light to find a way to take the choices. You know what I'm saying? This is another heavenly commitment. Do you know, this book has a price of blood. This is not another book. This is not a book that you can buy in any store. Now you can buy that. But in the past, you didn't. In the past, many people, they showed. This is the right word. They just regaron su sangre. They shed their blood. That because today, that's the reason why, because today you and I, we can go to the store and just buy it. This book means blood. The blood of Jesus and the blood of many brothers and sisters that they fight for this word. And sometimes you and I even didn't bring it to the church. Sometimes we just go back to our house and we just put the Bible somewhere and we forget it sometimes. Brothers, sisters, you know what I'm saying. I'm not telling you nothing new. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't know this word, you will not know the Almighty God that we have. You don't know. You will not know Him as you can know Him. You need to know this book. This is the only way to know Him better. Number three. I'm just going to go quickly. I have just 1 hour more. Third heavenly commitment. You know, I love this verse. I love that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. When we talk about our future home, you know, when you can just go to your living room or just go to your room and you just sit and you just open your Bible and you can read this verse, you know, I don't know you, but me, I can just rest. I just can rest. Because sometimes we have huge troubles around us, not only yours, people around you, and you are suffering because of that. And sometimes we are just paying bad choices. We're just paying that. We are just paying the ticket for the past sometimes. But when you are going to your privacy and you just open your Bible and you go to that verse and you can see that this house, now this house is something that you cannot keep it with you. There is something amazing after this. There is something great that you and I, we cannot imagine this waiting for us. You know, you need just to open your heart and say, Lord, thank you. Most of the people that are here, even myself, maybe we are an average, we're talking about maybe 30 years old, right? 30, 35 years old. Someone say that. I'm saying average. Well, let's think about 40 years old. Do you remember when you were at school? How long was that? Yesterday. It's true? Do you know, sometimes we said, my son, he's 7 years old. And he said, Dad, I want to have 18 years old. I want to have 15. You know, because he can see his people around him that they are 18 or 20 or 15 and they do all the kind of things that he can't. You know what I'm saying? And you say, Dad, I want to have 10 years old. Aaron, no. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy it. Because the life is like that. Honey, enjoy it. And what I'm saying to my kids, enjoy every day. Just enjoy. Just rejoice before him. Just praise him. Just be thankful to him. Because today, did you get breakfast? Right? Did you get lunch? Did you get supper? Do you have a bed now to go back and rest? Do you have a car to drive? Just rejoice. Just say, thank you, Lord. This is something just quickly, passing by. I remember when I was at the high school. I remember that. I remember when I was asking my mom for permission for something. I remember that. Do you know when was that? Yesterday. Our future home is coming. Heavenly commandment. Let me finish with two more details. Two more things. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. If you see that verse, you can see that the Bible is telling us that we need to set up our affection on the things above. But that verse also teaching us that we don't have to set up our things. Hey, listen carefully. Things on earth. What the verse means is, you know, sometimes we are like that, holding. You know, we are grabbing everything. We think that everything we have is the happiness of the life. That's a lie. That's a lie. But we need to have an earthly commandment also. Not only heavenly commandment. When we think about this verse, Colossians chapter 3, when that verse is telling us about Christianity, about to have clear your and my priorities in life, my first priority is heaven. Everything above. Heaven. My God, His Word, my future home. But what about my time here? What about my life in this earth? What about my life? What do I have to do during my time here? What do you and I have to do when we are here? Just two details. If we go to that verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21st to 24, Paul is talking about not a complaint, a fight he had. He said, I know that go with you, Lord, go with Jesus, is the best. He knows that. He knew that. But he said, but I have something to do here. Before go to the Lord, before go to my home, to my eternal house, before go there, I have something to do here. I have something to do before go back home. Before I share with you this couple of things, it's only two details. But I want to ask you, how do you spend your life? How? How do you spend your age? You know, I love because I have a relationship and friendship with many people. Some of them really youngers and some olders. And to me, it's really great to have conversation and to hear about different opinions and hear about different experience. And sometimes I heard this. Ah, yes, he can do that because he is younger. Did you hear that before? It's real. It's true. You can do that because you are younger. Sometimes even people tell me, are you not, man? Say, a little bit, yeah. To be Word of Life missionary, we have to be a little bit. You said that. Is that a hard word, not? Is it? Or it's fine? Está bien. It's not, oh, thank you, God. I'm sweating, look at that. I said that word and then I said, okay. But you know what is my point? How are you spending your life? How many minutes are you investing in God's kingdom? You know, I just told you before, this life is just, you know, like that. And then you and I, we are going to be before him for all the eternity. And that's my point. Jesus will come before me and will ask me, Roy, how did you spend your life for me? How? Do you know one thing? I think that I'm not doing enough for him. Because there's many people without Jesus. There's millions and millions of people without Jesus. And every day, there's thousands of people dying without Jesus. How am I spending my time? How are you spending your time? What kind of earthly commitment do you have? We just need to have two commitments, no more than that. Number one, a commitment with the lost souls. If you go to Matthew, I just tell you before, I'm not saying nothing new for you. You knew this. But my question is, what are you doing about this? That's what I said before. It's not enough to know. You need 5 inches. You need to put it down here or bring it down to your heart. And do it. Do it. Move forward. Let's go. Lost souls is an important heavenly commitment. When you are somewhere, let me tell you this. Do you have evangelistic tracts? Do you have it? If not, find it. Buy some and bring it with you on your car, on your backpack, whatever. Bring it with you. You don't know when the Lord is going to open the door for you. You don't know that. You don't know when the Lord is giving you the opportunity to share his love to someone. You just take it up, one track, and just share his love. This is it. You know, let me tell you this. Christian life is really easy. Christianity is really easy. We just need one word. Obedience. It's the only word that we know, or we need to. You know, Christianity turned bad, or many things around us, supposedly because Christianity, that's not because Christian, not because be a Christian, it's because our choices. Obedience is the key word to have an easy Christian life. If we are obedient, we are going to have an easy Christian life. Because obedience means blessings from Him. I'm not saying economy. Not telling me wrong. I'm not talking about money in any moment. I'm talking about Christian life. I'm talking about rejoice, peace. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about that you can lay down your head on your bed every night and you can sleep well. I'm saying that. I don't know if you can do that. Praise God, I can. Lost souls. Last point. Right there. This is so important. A clear heavenly commitment with His holiness. In other words, a holy life. You know, I don't know you. Praise God that I don't know you. I feel free to talk because I don't know you. That's something good when you're speaking somewhere that you don't know the people. But in El Salvador, the place where I live, the place where the Lord took me to, the place where I can live a bunch of experience, I can see how many Christians, they have a double life. Or they have a double morality. You know what I'm saying? One thing is inside the church, and all the things is outside the church. Double life. The Bible encourages us to be holy. Because He is holy. It's simple. It's like that. It's so simple. We have to be holy because He is holy. That's it. But it's a commandment. Because we have a lot of temptation around us. We have a bunch of things about it that are telling us, come on. Do you see the cartoon when someone was baking something and the smell go out, and the cat is like, do you see that? Do you see that? It's the same. We have a lot of smells around us. If you and I, if we don't have a commitment with His holiness, we are going to follow every smell around us. Commitment, brothers and sisters, to me, is one of the key words for Christianity. Commitments means priorities. Commitment. You know, this is something important to me. When I have to teach about leadership in different places, when I have to teach about leadership, commitment for me is the word who split, is the word who separate the dreamers from the makers. You know what I'm saying? Because all of us, we are dreamers. We have a lot of dreams in our heads, or no, or you don't have it. Maybe personal dreams. My job, my future, my degree, my profession, my ministry, whatever, you know. We have dreams. Even in Christianity, in my Christian life, sometimes we have dreams. But you will not reach your dreams until you don't have a real commitment. Commitment is the word who splits, separate the dreamers from the makers. Is it clear? Yes. I don't know about you, but the Bible is really telling us about to look inside myself deeper and search inside my heart how committed am I with Him. What kind of commitment do you have? I told you before, all of us, we have commitments. All of us, we have commitments. My question is that I said it when I start, what kind of commitments do you have? Where are you focused all you are? Where or in whom are you focused everything you are? Where? I think, you know, I love how God is really clear and simple. That's amazing about word. Sometimes we can try to do something, you know, wow, no. It's really simple. I told you before, obedience, it's simple. Everything turns bad when we are not obedient. But it's simple. Just be obedient. This is it. This is it. No more than that. But when the Bible tells us about when do we set up our affection, thinking about my thinking, my feelings, all that I am, when the Bible tells us or encourages us about where do I have focused my life, the Bible is really simple. Just above. It's just simple. Who are the people who turn that easy thing in mistakes? You and me. When we don't understand that we need to have a clear commitment with Him, with His Word, and never forget that this earth is just a moment, my future home. But during my time in this earth, during my time in this world, I have commitments in this earth. What about the lost souls? What about them? What about the God's work? What about that? How can you be part of that? Maybe the mission trip, great. Your church, your community, your own family. How can you be part with the earth commitment, the lost souls? But never forget, you can do whatever you want for the Lord. But sometimes we do things for the Lord, but not in a holy life. Please, brothers and sisters, don't live a double life. Don't do it. You have to be black or white. No gray. You know what I'm saying? Don't live a double life. I can tell you a bunch of stories that I live talking with people, and people tell me, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to know Jesus. He said, why? You come to my house, and you have to know my neighbor. He's this, he's that, he's going to that church, blah, 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 blah. You can see them. No. I don't want to know nothing about Christianity. Why? Come to my job and see the people who works with me. They say that they are Christians. That embarrassed me because I'm his child. And that guy, that person that I don't know who is my brother or my sister. Please, clear commitments. These are the days of commitment. May you bow down your head, please. We're going to finish praying, Lord. Lord, you know our hearts, Lord. You know who we are. You know what kind of life are we living for you, Lord. Lord, we are people that we know you. We know your love for us. We knew, Lord, that you sent your only son to die for us. Lord, we know your love because we knew about your grace and mercy, not only in our past life, even every day, we can experience your mercy and grace. But God, we are people, sometimes, that we are not really faithful to you, Lord. But we want to have commitments before you. We want to, the Lord, the day that you will call us, that day we want to go before you. And I hope, Lord, that you can rejoice because the kind of life that we are living today for you. God bless my brothers and sisters here at the church. Bless them, Lord. I hope, Father, that they can live a life that please you, that their lives can please you. Blessing them, Father. Bless their lives. Help us to be faithful to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. I helped you understand my English. Sorry.